السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. I would like to welcome you after a long interruption of our program because we had to update the website and upgrade it, add some new features inshallah. But Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we are back and we welcome you back. And inshallah ta'ala, it will be all of this infrastructure just to help us become more beneficial, inshallah ta'ala, to ourselves and the rest of the Muslims all the time. We need your dua and your help, inshallah, as much as you can. And may Allah ta'ala help us serve this deen and serve this ummah, inshallah. Today's topic is about a dua. And I do not believe that we will be able to cover it in one day. So most likely I will ask, I will have a follow-up inshallah next week, same time, where we will discuss the second part of a dua. What I would like to do inshallah is to start by one topic at a time that is part of a dua. And as I end every, piece of it, I will open the floor for discussion. Maybe it's not the best approach, but let's see how it works, inshallah. Because I would just want to make sure that we do not go too fast, that we do not go too slow, that the benefit, inshallah ta'ala, is achieved by everyone. And as everybody knows, really the only silly question is the one that's not asked. We are all here to learn and learn from each other. I will learn from you just like you will learn from me, inshallah. And therefore, if you can add, correct, modify, object, whatever it is, we are here, inshallah ta'ala, to please Allah ta'ala. And at the end of the day, the opinion that's binding to us, the correct opinion that's binding to us, is the one that has the strongest evidence. And this is what we need to keep in our mind and in the forefront of our minds, our brains, all the time. So with this, inshallah ta'ala, I will ask, once I break, I will ask if you have any questions and or comments, and we will take it, inshallah ta'ala, from there. First of all, we want to discuss what a dua means. The word dua, which comes from the verb da'a, and all of the, they have different meanings depending on the context in which you use it in. So the word dua can mean seeking help, or what is called in Arabic al-istighatha, al-istighatha, or seeking help. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, ayah number 23, He Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبِدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ وَدْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. And if you are in doubt of that or in that which we revealed to our servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then do what? Then call all your partners. So now what does it mean here to say fad'u? And here the word or the verb, the command form here is ud'u. Fad'u shuhada'akum. Bring all your partners, all your supporters, all your helpers. What does the word here, call them, mean? It means seek their help. And this is the extreme in challenge. When you want to challenge somebody, you're not just telling him, okay, go ahead and bring like it. No, bring all your shuraka, all your supporters, all your helpers to produce like it. So here Allah Ta'ala is saying, seek the help of everybody. So the word dua here is used to mean the word al-istighatha, or the seeking the help or the support of others. Another meaning of the word dua is worship. Another meaning of the word dua is worship. And Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ فَدْعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Verily, those whom you call upon besides Allah Ta'ala are slaves like you, are ibad. They're creatures. They're creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like you. And this is, again, look at the wording here. You are incapable of supporting yourself. You are incapable of helping yourself. You are incapable of solving your own problem. That's why you made the dua to start with. You know, you submitted to yourself to them. You humbled yourself to them, asking for their help, asking for them. You even worshipped them to get you to what you want to do. And the ones that you are worshipping, the ones that you are going after are what? They are slaves like you. They are a creation like you. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لَكُمْ. Let them answer you if you are truly truthful. If you are truthful. So meaning here what? The ones that you are seeking, the ones that you are worshipping, and these are the idols, and the ones that you are calling on, because they used to call on them to help them get to closer to Allah Ta'ala, to help them solve their problems, etc. So Allah Ta'ala is telling them, call upon them, the one that you worship them, ask them to answer your dua if you are truly, if you are truthful. So here, the word ibadah, the word fad'u, you know, or the inna alladhina tad'una, those whom you call upon, those whom you worship. Okay, so the word da'wa here or du'a here comes in the meaning of the worship. And also it means the word supplication. Ad-du'a, which is really what we are discussing. The word supplication. When Allah Ta'ala says, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاء. That in Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 40, Allah Ta'ala says, you know, on the tongue of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam is making the dua. So what is he saying? Rabbi ja'alni muqim as-salah. Oh Allah, make me among those who make as-salah, to perform the salah. And also from among my offsprings, that my offsprings also perform as-salah. And oh Allah, accept my invocation, my dua, my supplication. So here the word dua is used to mean supplication. Now, and this is really the one that we are going to be discussing today. We are not going to discuss the ibadah as the dua in the meaning of ibadah. So we're not discussing the ibadah. Nor are we discussing the istighatha as in seeking the support and the help. We are really discussing the subject of supplication, ad-du'a specifically. So here the point here, how do we know which meaning is actually used by Allah Ta'ala here and there, or which meaning of the word is actually intended when the word du'a is meant? It is the context. There is, because the word is the same, it's the one word, and the context of the ayah, the context of the hadith, the context of the speech is really what makes it one or the other. So, but for our purposes here, our subject is talking about the issue of supplication. Okay. Before I go on, anybody has any questions? Feel free, inshallah ta'ala, to answer. If there is, I will go back. There is no problem. It doesn't have to be formal. Now, ad-du'a and its place, it is really a manifestation of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is, while we are talking about supplication, we are talking about du'a, asking Allah ta'ala for things. But at the same time, it actually manifests the essence of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at and listen to the word that Allah ta'ala used in Al-Quran al-Kareem when he talks about ad-du'a. قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And Allah Ta'ala, your Lord said, ask me, invoke me, ask me for things, I will answer you. And look at what he finishes. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, call upon me, ask me, supplicate to me, and I will answer you. What is the finishing of the ayah? What does he say? And those who scorn my worship. So here, but he did not say worship me. He said, make dua to me. Du'uni, call upon me. But here again, he comes and he used the word worship. So here, really it shows that actually the dua itself is the worship. The dua itself is what manifests the action of or the action of worship. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, those who scorn, those who turn away, those who feel that they are too superior, they're too big to humiliate themselves or humble themselves in the asking me, they will do what? They will be entered into Jahannam dakhirin, with humiliation. Look at this. They showed arrogance in this world in asking Allah Ta'ala, in making dua to Allah Ta'ala, their arrogance, their pride. What did that do to them on the Day of Judgment? Will enter them into Jahannam with humiliation. Dakhirin, with humiliation. So the actual arrogance or the pride that was supposed to be good for them, enhances them, was actually what led them to hellfire with humiliation. So here for us, the ibadah, the dua is the manifestation of worship. And the more the person humbles themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing their size, knowing what they can do, what they cannot do, and knowing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more true of ibadah that they are doing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says in the hadith that's reported by Al-Nu'man bin Bashir, and this is reported by Imam Ahmad, when he says, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةُ إِنَّ الدُّعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةُ And it is easy to memorize in Arabic. إِنَّ الدُّعَاءُ هُوَ الْعِبَادَةُ Indeed, verily, the dua is the worship. The dua is the worship. So it is, here it shows that the dua is really the essence of worship or the manifestation of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it reflects the weakness of the human being, it reflects the recognition of the superiority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the supremacy of Allah ta'ala, the capability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that we as human beings are incapable, that we rely on Him and that we want Him to address our issues, resolve our problems, solve our dilemmas, etc. All of these are shown in the dua. You know, that when we raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, it shows who we are and whom we are asking subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Al-Tirmidhi reported in his Sahih Al-Tirmidhi, a hadith from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاءِ ليس شيء أكرم عند الله من الدعاء. There is nothing that is more honorable in the sight of Allah than a dua. There is nothing more honorable to Allah in the sight of Allah than a dua. And here we come to the nature of the human beings with dua. And this is very interesting, because the human being is shows different signs when the way that they turn into dua. Normally, the human being, when do people remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, when there's a problem. When do people actually, even among Muslims now, when do people take out the Quran to read? When somebody dies, you know. When do they remember to ask Allah ta'ala for forgiveness? When they see somebody, you know, dead, or when they have a catastrophe. That's really when people turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But and this is the nature of the human being, that in general, forgetful. In general, forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only turns to Him when there is a problem. Then when there is a problem, oh Allah give me, oh Allah protect me, oh Allah do this. But in the regular times, you do not find such behavior. Look at what he says, you know, in Surah Fussilat. لَا يَسْأَمُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ دُعَاءِ الْخَيْرِ وَإِنْ مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَيَأُوسٌ قَنُوطٌ لَا يَسْأَمُ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ دُعَاءِ الْخَيْرِ So this is one part, one aspect of the nature of the human being. That the human being never gives up on asking Allah Ta'ala of good things. You know, so you always ask Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah give me, oh Allah, you know, give me. But once there is an evil that touches him, once there is something that he perceives to be evil that comes upon him, then he becomes what? He becomes in despair. That how will Allah Ta'ala solve this problem? How will this problem go away? You know, and automatically the dua itself, even if done, becomes hollow. Becomes really, I mean, this is just the nature of the human being, that you're making dua, and if, you know, it's not going to happen, it's not going to be resolved, it's not going to be addressed, you know. And this is something that Allah Ta'ala is talking about, the nature of the human being, does not give up on asking for al-khayr. I always want more. I always want better. I always want for myself. But if something bad happens, automatically loss and despair. Okay? Another manifestation, another aspect of the nature of the human being is that, as I said, that they only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of trouble. Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ فَأَعْرَضَ وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ. And if we bestow any of our blessings, if we show favor to the human being, he withdraws and turns away. So again, I am good. I don't need Allah Ta'ala. I don't need to pray. My job is good. My income is good. My family is good. What do I need? Why do I need the dua? Okay? And this is normally, and this is what the people, and that's why I said, they only turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of the trouble. But when there is something that touches them, he becomes what? Now he is just making dua, and he goes into the sujood, and he is, you know, he has the long sujood and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, do this, oh Allah, get me out of my trouble. But in the good times, this is not found. This is just the nature of the human being. And this is, by the way, the nature of the human being. When we say nature of the human being, it is when the human being is away from Allah Ta'ala. If we understand the concept, if we understand the idea of the dua as a ibadah to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that we are worshipping Him by that, we're recognizing our limitation and the superiority of Him Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that He is absolute, that He has no limits in His power and in His ability. That is a belief in the Muslim, in the believer. The believer believes in it. And therefore, when the believer believes in that, it is not a matter of now time of trouble or time of good things. We know that the good thing might be bad. And we know that the bad thing might be good. We don't know. We are always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of our state, regardless of how we perceive ourselves, we know that it's in the hand of Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he subhanahu wa ta'ala changes it as he wish. Who has the guarantee that the good times will last? And it's not a mu'min who believes in al-akhirah understands that the dua is not only about this dunya. It's not about the big house or the second car or the extra income. Or this is not the dua. Actually, this is the person who is limited in their ability or limited in their view of what life is about. The dua is really about life as related to al-akhirah. You know, it is about al-akhirah as related to life. When we have, and we will talk about it inshallah ta'ala later on, but when we say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَبَ النَّارِ, we did not specify what the hasana is. Oh Allah, give us something good in this life, something good in the hereafter, and protect us from the hellfire. They are intertwined. They are not separable. And we are not saying, give us the good, the hasana, as we perceive it to be hasana. Give us something that is good. You, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you, Allah ta'ala, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, you will give us that which is good, whether we understand it or not, whether we know it or not. And this is the nature of the believer versus the nature of the disbeliever, as we are talking about. Another ayah is what Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Yunus. And when harm touches him, he invokes us, lying on his side or sitting or standing. But when we have removed his harm from him, he passes on as if he had never invoked us for a harm that touched him. And again, this nature of human being, it is really enhanced by the type of society that we are living in, by the type of materialistic atmosphere that we, the Muslim Ummah, are experiencing now worldwide. Why? Because we feel that now, everybody, you are relying on yourself. How do you get a good job? It's because of your skills. How do you get a good income? Because of your skills. Not because Allah Ta'ala provided you. Not because Allah Ta'ala made things easy for you. You're the man. You're the man. You're it. Everything revolves around you. And therefore, it is always that when you see yourself not in trouble, you know, you are it. You are the one who's causing this good things to happen to you. But when something bad happens, automatically, the person starts automatically, faces the sky and looks up asking for help. Because really then their true size is shown. And this is something that we want to stop here for a few seconds. Allah Ta'ala, when we say that, who should we ask? When Allah Ta'ala says, I mean, first of all, of course, Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala alone. First of all, just think of back of the what we were just saying. That the ones that you are calling for, the ones that you are seeking the help of, عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, that the ones that you are seeking the assistance from are nothing but creation like you. So they are not going to be, they are not going to be able to help you. And anybody, if human beings who are the most honored creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. You know, we've honored the children of Adam, and we are the children of Adam. We are the honored creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ourselves are incapable of helping ourselves in that sense, we are incapable of resolving our issues and relying ourselves, and we need to call dua. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is more honorable than us in this world that we can ask Him for help? There is none. Who are we asking for that we, you know, nobody is able to help themselves absolutely in all times. Everybody, since we are limited in our capacity, in our ability, in our knowledge, in our comprehension, whatever it is, we are unable to help ourselves. You know, and therefore we need to rely on the one whom everybody can rely on and everybody can turn to. It is not going to be an idol. It's not going to be another man. Even if it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not going to be another man. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is himself asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself is making the dua over and over, and we will come to that. So it is not a matter of, who can help us, who's more honorable from the human beings, who are the most honored. Who's more honorable than the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He himself is making the dua, as we will come to see, you know, to the point where he is staying up all night praying and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raising his hands, etc. How can the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the most honorable of us, you know, is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can else be asked? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who can be actually asked. He says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ. Who is going to answer the one in need? Who is going to answer the one in distress, you know, and removes harm? Who's going to remove harm? Meaning what? This is a question where the answer is known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that nobody is going to answer your question except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So this is the idea here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one who is worthy of worship and worthy of being called upon. And when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do we need to ask Him through somebody else? Allah ta'ala tells us what? Call me. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And ask me. He did not say ask me through somebody else. He did not say ask me indirectly. He just said, ask me and I will respond. Therefore, he subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one who is worthy of being asked, because he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of all and the one whom everything depends on, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala depends on none. You know, and two, he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who is worthy of answering the question, because he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who's capable and who took it upon himself to remove harm and to answer the dua at the time of distress. The question is, can you please explain the concept of tasawwuf? How does this fit with the idea that only Allah is worthy of being asked? I don't know if it is the whole idea of tasawwuf itself as a concept, and that's really definitely a different subject. But the idea, what is done by some Sufis, not across the board, by some Sufis, where they use either Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the person in the middle, the intermediary, if you wish, between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would say, بحق رسول الله, by the right of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on you, O Allah, you know, forgive me, or O Allah, give me. Or they do something where they would ask by their sheikh. So they, for example, a follower of a tariqah, a follower of a Sufi path, would say, okay, the founder of this tariqah is a righteous man. So, oh Allah, in the right of this person, you know, that whom you loved, etc., give me X or Y. And this is problematic. This is problematic because, first of all, nobody has a right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The right, the only right, and this is the text, based on the text, the right that, as the Hadith al-Sharif says, he says, do you know what your right on, what the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on you? You know, ما حق الله عليكم, what is the right of Allah ta'ala on you? Then the Sahaba said, what is it? He said that you worship no one but him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You worship no one but him. Okay? And do you know what your right is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you do that? If you do that, what is your right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, to enter you into Jannah. This is it. No one has the right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, to say that, okay, in the right of Allah, in the right of this person or that person. Nobody has the right on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, we ask Allah ta'ala, and asking for what? Asking for His help and asking for His assistance, etc., etc. Now, some people cite, for example, the actions of the Sahaba. Like, for example, at the time, you know, when after the death of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time of Umar, they called they wanted to do al-istisqa, doing the salah for rain. And they went and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. And they said, you know, we used to ask you with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was alive. And now that he is not, we ask you with the uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who, you know, and based on that, you know, basically, can you please answer us? And by the way, this is actually not exactly the way it is sounded. They never asked Allah ta'ala through Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to ask Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make dua for them. There's a difference. When you make dua, putting somebody else in between you and Allah ta'ala is one case, one scenario. And when you ask a righteous person, when you ask a good person to make the dua, you know, that is a different story. And this is what was taking place. So at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid at one point, you know, and a man came in the masjid and he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Prophet of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, our cattle is dying. There is no water. You know, can't you ask Allah Ta'ala to make it rain, to give us some water? So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hands and called, ask Allah Ta'ala. But look at the way it happened. The man did not stand in the masjid, say, O Allah, with the right of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on you, give us rain. He went to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, O Prophet of Allah, can our cattle, this is our situation, we need water. Can you ask Allah Ta'ala for water? And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you ask him? So he got his hands up and he made the dua where they would say, the various reports, where they would say the Medina kept on raining for an entire week. Where if you step outside of the Medina, you know, where if you step outside of the Medina, it was dry. There was no water. That's it. Outside of the boundaries of Medina, there was no water. And in Medina, it was raining for an entire week. To the point where the people came back to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, O Prophet of Allah, now it's too much water. You know, can you ask Allah Ta'ala to stop the rain? And our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the blessed one, al-Mubarak, you know, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raised his hands and he said, Allahumma hawalayna wa la alayna. Oh Allah, around us, not on us. And the rain stopped. So notice the way that they did it. When they wanted to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a righteous man, with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Bashar, they went to him and asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for us. And the same thing after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went to his uncle. And they asked him, you know, to make the dua for them. Not that they said, through Muhammad, through the uncle of the Rasul, through X or Y, can you do this, you know, can you answer our dua, etc. Is this point clear? Is this point clear? Okay. If it's not clear, please just let us know. So do we have to stick to the subtopic being discussed now, or who should we ask? Look, we can do this in more than one way, and we can make it rigid, and we can make the question. But as long as we are within the topic and the subtopic, etc., as long as people are benefiting, there is no problem, inshallah ta'ala. So, and this is, brother Abu Dar, this is part of the dua, this is part of the topic. It is not away from the topic. We are talking about who is worthy of being asked. And part of the discussion also, how do we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And inshallah ta'ala, the next time we discuss, I don't think we'll get to it today, is really even we'll talk about how to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in what positions, what state are we going to be in, etc., etc. All of this is part of the dua. And that's really, and somebody today actually was asking me, is this really do you need more than one hour to discuss this? And I really, to give it the proper thing, because we still don't understand what it means when we say Allah ta'ala answer the dua, and we will come to it. But the idea is, it is really an extensive topic. There is a lot more than that can be said in one session. Now the question is the istikhara a du'a? You know, of course it is a du'a. You know, of course it is a du'a. You are making a du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show you the way, to show you what is, if this is good for you, to give you the comfort feeling for it. And if it is not good for you, to take it away from your heart, etc., etc. All of this is dua. It is not something that is outside of the realm of a dua. Okay? Now, dua is for different things and for different scenarios, but at the same time, it is a... it is all under the concept of dua. Wa alaykum as-salam. My question is regarding taqleed. The problem people these days, people take proofs from scholars at the time who are not real scholars. This goes to the point that they will not to evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah. This is outside of our topic, akhi. Jazakallah khair, brother. This is our topic, but we want to stick to the topic of dua. The topic of taqleed, inshallah, if you like, just send me an email and we will make it into a separate subject, and it is a lengthy subject. But with regard to the sister's question about the dua and about the dua al-istikhara and how you get the answer, not to get into detail of the issue of dua al-istikhara and what it is meant, but it is a dua, and you, as I said, is a special kind of dua, and Allah Ta'ala answers that dua in a certain way. Okay. Inshallah Ta'ala, we ismin. Okay, so this is the point. We want to differentiate again between asking a person, a righteous person, وَيَّكُمْ inshallah. We want to differentiate between asking a righteous person to make dua for us and asking Allah Ta'ala through somebody else. So the only one who's worthy of being asked is a dua. And what you see from these people who come to you, it is okay for somebody to come to an imam, to a person whom we think is righteous, to tell him, make dua for me. This is generically speaking. Now the problem what we have right now, nowadays, is that actually people go to the imam, go to the hafiz, go to the sheikh, all of this because we've given them a clergyman status, and this is a bit, that's why it's a bit different. And when people come to a person, an imam of a masjid, please make dua for me because my daughter is sick. Please make dua for me, I bought a house. Please make dua for me for this. This is sunnah. To ask people to make dua and make dua for each other, whether in present or absent. But now the connotation of it and the way it is done, nobody comes to, for example, and this is the average Muslim, they do not come to another Muslim like them and they say, "Akhi, please make dua for me. Sister, make dua for me." They don't do that. What they do, they come to the imam of the masjid specifically. Or they come to the Sheikh specifically, make dua for me. Why him specifically? There are other people who are righteous as well. They are not the Imam of the Masjid, but they are righteous and good Muslims. But it is that they come to him to do what? So that because he is the Sheikh, he is the really in a position of a man of religion. You know, and therefore this is where it needs to be clarified. You know, and when somebody asks me, please make dua for me, I'll tell them, please, you do too. You make dua for me as well. You know, because I am not better than you. You are not better than me. Allahu a'lam, maybe you are better than me. But there is no one person higher than the other. Why? Because the person led the salah, or the person is the imam or the hafidh, automatically he is treated as a clergyman. Wa alaykum salam. Living in a secular world, we also have concepts like believing in yourself and self-help. Can you address that? Inshallah ta'ala. And this is part of the what I want to say as well. There is something we need, and we will come to the issue of you know what, Brother Abu Yasmin, if you can just hang on for a while, inshallah ta'ala, and we will come to it. Ali, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but it is part of my subject, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll address it when I get to it, inshallah. But the whole idea, as we said, when we said that, who should we ask? Allah ta'ala alone is in control. So it is nonsense. It is nonsense to ask Allah, to ask anybody else. Who, if you, you know, excuse the expression, if the person is constipated, they cannot help themselves. You know, if the person needs a job, cannot help themselves, how can they guarantee themselves, you know, guarantee the help for themselves, for them to be asked instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay. Now, here we want to stop also, we want to give ourselves some time, because Allah ta'ala alone is the one who answers dua. And as we said, Allah ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 186, He Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, and if people, my slaves, ask you, O Muhammad, concerning me, then answer them. I am indeed near. I respond to the dua, to the invocations of the supplicant, when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me, so they may be led aright, or may be led straight. This is, by the way, and so Allah Ta'ala answers the dua, you know, and He says, if you ask me, if you ask about me, I am near. That's why when, you know, a man at the time of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started yelling his dua, you know, yelling, hoping that Allah Ta'ala would hear him. And he was corrected that Allah Ta'ala is near. He is not far away. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala all hearing. You don't need to yell out, etc. But he is subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. And the word near here, by the way, it gives you another meaning or another understanding, a closer understanding, that he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your problem. He knows what is troubling you. He knows what is on your mind. He knows what you need. You know, so he is near to you. He is not just near in answering the dua. He could have said subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if my slaves ask you about me, you know, tell them that I respond to their dua. But look at the eloquence and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the tranquility to the believer that I am near to you. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close to us. So when we make the dua, we make it and He knows about us. He's near to us. He answers us. And He answers the dua if they answer you. So now, since He is near, and since He answers the dua, and He is the one who is going to be responding to us, so what is the consequence? Look at He put it as a consequence for this. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Let them respond to me, to my call. What is my call? Worship me alone. Worship Allah Ta'ala alone. You know? وَلِيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And let them believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشِدُونَ. And that's how you become guided. That's how you start walking upright. You walk upright not because you're walking on two feet or two legs. You are walking upright because you are walking with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what, when you respond to Him, this is what is causing the human being to walk, to be led aright and to be led in the right way. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم. And Allah, your Lord, said, believe in me, or ask me, ask for anything. You know, ادعوني, generically. You know, I will respond to you. I will respond to you. And this is in Surah Ghafir. Now, we want to, as I said, we want to pause here for a second because we want to understand what we are saying. Allah Ta'ala used the word, أجيب دعوة الداعي. I answer. The word إجابة or أجيب is more general than giving what you ask for. Here, he did not say, I will give you what you ask for. Why didn't he do that? He said that if you ask me, I will answer. He did not say, if you ask me, I will give you what you asked. Okay? I will give you what you asked. He did not say that. He said, if you ask me, I will answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. He will answer. And of course, the question is, how does Allah ta'ala answer the dua? How Allah ta'ala answers the dua? And that is what we want to discuss. But here, this is the point that I want to specify is what the answering is more general, more encompassing than simply giving you what you asked. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that's reported by Bukhari, he says, يَنزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Our Lord descends to the lower heaven. فَيَقُولُ مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Who will ask me? Who will supplicate to me so that I will respond to him? So I will answer him. مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيهُ. Who will ask me so that I give him? You know, مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي فَأُعْطِيهُ. That I will give him. So here, he used two words. And this is, in the hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari. He said, use two words. One is the ijaba, and one is al-ata'. That he will give, who will call, who will ask me, who will make the dua to me, and I will give, I will respond. فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. And who will ask me something specifically? مَنْ يَسْأَلُنِي. السؤال is when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something specific. Oh Allah ta'ala, help me with my job. Oh Allah ta'ala, help me with my children. Oh Allah ta'ala, make my, affair simple or easy. Oh Allah ta'ala, help me understand Islam. Something specific that you're asking for. And Allah ta'ala says, فَأُعْطِيهِ. I will give him. I will grant him. Different from فَأُجِيبُهُ. فَأَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ. Different. Why are they different? Because the word الإجابة, which Allah Ta'ala uses in all of these ayat, you know, he did not say, I will give him, I will grant him that wish, I'll grant him that, that dua. He said, I will respond. I will answer him. Because it's more general than that. And we will discuss, coming inshallah Ta'ala, we will discuss how Allah Ta'ala responds to dua. But the point here, we're coming to a big subject. And I want to make sure that it is clear and everybody understands what we are talking about, inshallah ta'ala. The issue here is that, does the dua change reality? You know, and really, in my personal understanding, I went through various stages in how I understood this. And it's really based on how much you read about this and how much you read about that. And there is a school of thought. In other words, now, does Allah Ta'ala, when I say, oh Allah Ta'ala, make me richer. Oh Allah Ta'ala, grant me something. Will Allah Ta'ala, so reality is going to change? A person who is sick, will Allah Ta'ala answer my dua in such a way that the reality of the sickness will go away when I say, oh Allah, cure this person? Does the reality change or not? And there is a group of Sufis, not all the Sufis, but a group of Sufis who will tell you that dua does not change reality. And some people also who follow their path are the ones who are more impacted in ilm al-kalam and philosophy, etc. They will tell you that, well, it does not change reality. Why it does not change reality? Because everything is predestined. Everything is predestined. And everything is already, as Allah Ta'ala says, or as the Hadith al-Sharif says, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been lifted, and the ink on the pages is dry. So there is nothing going to change. And therefore, if Allah Ta'ala has already willed things to be the way they are, willed things to be the way they are and the way they are going to be, period. Then regardless what you make dua, what are you making dua to do? You are going to change things? It's not going to change. Because it is already written, it's done. And the actually this and then this understanding basically says, okay, well, so what is the dua? A dua is simply an act of worship. You ask Allah Ta'ala for things as an act of worship, period. You know, so you are asking him, oh Allah Ta'ala, cure me, etc., just to show that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the superior and you are the inferior. That he subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's capable of doing it and you are not. Okay, so this is just a dua. A dua is here simply for ibadah. And this is the first opinion. The bulk of the Muslims, actually the bulk of the Muslim ummah or the Muslim scholars actually refuted this. And they said, no, your understanding of predestination is lacking. Because when we say that Allah Ta'ala predestined things, we have to understand what we are talking about. In other words, they say that dua does change reality. But the question is, how does it change reality? The predestination, it does not mean, I mean, what does predestination mean? Or what does al-qadr mean? Al-qadr here, it means the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew in advance, that a person called Muhammad or Ahmed are going to do this, or they're going to be sick, are going to, the events, and he subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it to the minutest detail. That is what predestination means. Predestination does not mean that we are robots, that we do things based on somebody pulling the strings. Otherwise, the whole concept of choice and the whole concept of intellect and the whole concept of evidence and the whole concept of follow the right proof and follow the wrong path, etc., all of this will be meaningless. Because all of us would be just simply robots in the sense that we just do what we are told. So even in that sense, even the disobedient person is actually obedient. And the person who is disobeying Allah Ta'ala is only doing what he is told. Okay? So here, we need to understand, we need to understand what it means to say that the predestination or al-qadr. And al-qadr here, not to make it our own subject, because it is really a separate subject by itself and it's a big subject. But it means we are talking to about the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala knew, that this is going to happen, that is going to happen. So where does the dua and changing things fit in? Here the dua, it is also part of the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, meaning Allah Ta'ala knew that this will happen and that this person will make a dua and that Allah Ta'ala will change that based on the dua of that person. So that there is no conflict between the fact that everything is written, because the writing in the document, the writing in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the protected decree, is nothing but a manifestation of the knowledge of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It's nothing but a manifestation of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he wrote things in the protected decree, he simply wrote his knowledge subhanahu wa ta'ala of everything that will be. And therefore, when something happens, it will fall in accordance to that knowledge. He knows subhanahu wa ta'ala what people are going to do. He's Allah. He's the one who created them. He created time. He created everything. You know, therefore, he will know that the person who will be sick will ask a dua, and Allah Ta'ala, based on that dua, will cure him. That's also all part of what's written. Is the point clear? So in other words, we don't know that the dua here that we are making, I mean, this is the dua that when we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that we hope that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will change things in that. Meaning, He attached the events, He attached the things that are going to happen to the condition of what of the dua that the person is going to make. Well, if you have any questions, please post them. The brother Ahmed is asking a question. Salman al-Farisi radiyallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, dua turns away destiny and good deeds lengthen ages. This is, according to this hadith, is in Tirmidhi. I don't know the text in Arabic. I don't know the text in Arabic. This is the first time I hear of this hadith. However, the hadith is, at least the latter part of it is problematic. Because nothing lengthens ages. Age is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith, if you take the hadith, you got to take it as a whole on its own wordings. So maybe the first one, dua, turns away destiny, is something that needs to be elaborated on what it is meant by it. But the last one, or the last part of it, that it lengthened the ages, this contradicts with the ayat of the Quran Kareem about death, when Allah Ta'ala says, لِكُلِّ أَجْرٍ كِتَابٍ فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. If their time comes, they will not be delayed any time, nor will they be rushed any time. Jazakallah khair. Anyway, it is, by the way, the latter part of the hadith is problematic. It lengthens the age. Nothing prolongs the age. Nothing prolongs the age. Not medication, not dua. Because, again, the age is set. The age is set. According to many ayat, that everything is based on a set time. But the first part of the hadith, this is what we are talking about. That this is, and it needs to be elaborated on what is meant by that. If you can look it up, and by the way, and this is maybe it's a good time to interject this. Nahda website has a forum that we added to it. We can start a thread, if you could please, or I can start a thread, or any of the brothers or sisters can start a thread about a dua. And we can discuss this hadith, inshallah ta'ala, once you look it up. And I will look it up, inshallah ta'ala, on my end. And we will exchange knowledge and we'll learn from each other, inshallah ta'ala. So, or maybe if, Brother Yusuf can do it, just please, let's start with the forum. There are two forums. One is for courses only. Please leave that alone. The other one is for general purpose. And we can start our first topic, inshallah ta'ala, with the subject of dua. And we will follow the discussions on this as it goes. So here, I want to make clear what we mean by, does it change reality? Does it contradict with predestination? Predestination does not mean, وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَخِي. It does not mean that we are robots who are walking on based on a program. But rather it means that Allah Ta'ala knew everything in advance, and He knew how people will be reacting and how people will be acting, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded them. So part of what He recorded is the dua, and part of what He recorded is that the fact that He subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to answer their dua and change their situation based on the dua that they have. Okay? So when we make the dua, we make dua, and we will come to it specifically, but we make dua with certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the things. And we make dua with certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered. Why? Because He tells us, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala said, ask me, I will respond. If he says, ask me and I will respond. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Then we have to make the dua with certainty that He subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer. It is not that. It is simply just words in the air. And when Allah Ta'ala says, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is going to remove hardship? Who is going to answer the call of the one in distress except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? So whenever we make the dua, and we, again, it's part of our separate subject, or a separate topic within this subject of dua. When we make dua with certainty that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will answer it. InshaAllah. And this is the last subject, inshallah ta'ala, of tonight. And we will pick it up, inshallah, from the week after, anyway, next week. But when is the dua answered? And the question here, the question about the dua, when is it answered? Before we talk about when Allah Ta'ala answers the question, we have to again go back to the nature of the human being. The human being is really a very interesting build. First of all, Allah Ta'ala tells us, Allah Ta'ala tells us that وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا, that the human being makes dua with evil, makes dua in evil, just like he makes it with good things. And instead, the human being is always ever hasty, is always in a rush, is always in a rush. We want, we know what the West calls instantaneous gratification. I want to make dua now. I want it not answered. I want it to be, you know, addressed now, and I want the answer in the way that I want it. Even though the human nature tells us that we are actually making dua with evil. We make dua with evil. Yes, we make dua again at ourselves or against each other. Yes, even the most dearest of us, we would make dua against them. A moment of anger. May Allah Ta'ala, you know, do this to you. May Allah Ta'ala break your leg. May Allah Ta'ala do this. May Allah Ta'ala. This is common language that the people use. We make the dua with evil, you know, to befall us, to befall, you know, when something happens, oh, you forgot your keys. As simple as making the keys, shaitan comes to you and all of a sudden you're cursing yourself. How, you know, this I am, you know, may Allah do this to me. They'll start cursing themselves. Simply for forgetting keys, simply for locking themselves out of the house, simply for, you know, getting lost in, you know, it is weird that the human being is in this way, that we always, we are in a rush. We always want the good. We're always, and we're willing to, because we think this is the good, we start even cursing ourselves. You know, this is something that is practiced by the human being. And if Allah Ta'ala answers the dua right away, so every time you raise your hands, you say, oh Allah, do this to this child. You know, because he disobeyed me. She disobeyed me. They did this, they did that. You know, imagine if Allah Ta'ala answers the dua every time. You know what he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala? As he says in Surah Yunus, وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rushes the evil, people are making dua for evil. If he rushes the people, you know, the dua for evil, for the people, there would be nobody remaining. Everybody, going back to the subject, people, when they make dua, you know how, you know, you would be walking in the street, you would be driving in a traffic jam, and all of a sudden you start cursing the town, and may Allah destroy this town, and may Allah, you're in it. And people start making the dua, you know, in this way. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to answer the dua as soon as it is answered, as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, all of us would have vanished. Because we would be cursing ourselves. We would be cursing ourselves. Just like there are conditions for accepting tawbah, salah, are there conditions about dua in terms of shari'i angle? Yes, there are, akhi. And this is, inshallah, unfortunately, it's going to be, or maybe fortunately, it's going to be, inshallah, ta'ala, our subject next week, and in part two. We cannot finish all of it in one. But yes, there are conditions when the dua is answered and when it is not answered. And we will come to it, inshallah, ta'ala, both. This is, inshallah ta'ala, my sister, this is the last point. So the point here is that if Allah ta'ala answers the dua at the wish of the people, Allah ta'ala would have terminated everybody on it. And the second thing is that when we make dua, if Allah ta'ala answers every dua, do you think that's good for us? When we make dua, oh Allah ta'ala, give me that job. You know, oh Allah, give me that job, grant me that job. How about if that job is bad for you? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers it for you. And how about oh Allah, give me a son. How about if the son is not good for you? It is going to be bad for you. Oh Allah Ta'ala, give me a daughter, and the daughter is going to give you a headache. How do you know what is good, what is bad? Human being is limited in this angle. Does not understand the ramifications of their dua even. So we make the dua, oh Allah, make this trip good. And the trip ends up being disastrous for the akhirah, for example. Or even disastrous for this world. You know, we make dua based on our knowledge, and our knowledge is limited. So we should not think, and this is from the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, it is from the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala that He does not answer us based on our demand, but rather He answers us in the way that we will discuss later on, inshaAllah. So it is, Don't think that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua in a certain way, or He does not answer you right away, that this is something bad. We do not know what is good and what is bad. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. You might hate something, but Allah ta'ala will put abundance of good in it. They will put so much good in it, but we hate it. Will a person make a dua for something that he hates? Nobody makes a dua for that. You make a dua for something that you think is good. But Allah Ta'ala tells us, but there is a lot of good in it. We don't know. In another ayah, وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ فَوَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you might detest something which is good for you. And you might like something which is bad for you. Allah knows and you know not. So if we don't know, you're making the dua for things that you think they are good and you want them to be answered right now. Allah, you want Allah Ta'ala to grant you that right now, like magic. It's a wish. I want it right now. You know, but from the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that He does not do that. Okay? That He actually answers it in a certain way, and we will discuss inshallah Ta'ala next time. Can we say the question is, can we say, oh Allah, bless me with what will be good for me in the dunya and akhirah. Absolutely. And this is, by the way, this is the type of dua that is best. Leave what is good, what is bad. Don't ask. And Rasul ﷺ says, أجملوا في الطلب. When you ask Allah Ta'ala, ask in general terms, in a way that is what? That is good for you. That's it. Give me the best for me in the dunya. What is the best for me? I don't know. But He subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So let Him choose for you. Don't choose for yourself. Who do you want to choose for you? Who is more merciful, you or Allah Ta'ala for you? You know, wallahi, Allah Ta'ala is more merciful for us than ourselves with ourselves. He cares for the well-being of humanity more than humanity cares for itself. You know, this is the rahmah of Allah Ta'ala. So why should I put my affair in my hands, the ignorant person? The person with limited knowledge, limited abilities, a person who is harsher with themselves than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is harsher than Allah ta'ala is with them. Why am I choosing with them? And give me this job, give me that money, give me this, give me that. Why don't you ask the dua like the sister just said, bless me with that which is good for me. Give me that which is good with me. If a child is good for me, give me. If a child is not good for me, don't give me. If a job is good for me, grant me that. If it is not, that is the full submission to Allah Ta'ala, even in the way that we make the dua. This is the last question, inshallah Ta'ala, I will concern. And concerning about righteous wife. Always, again, يعني, make the dua, أخي, brother Saleh, make the dua as general as possible. Maybe the wife, period, righteous or not, righteous is not good for you. Ask a dua that Allah Ta'ala will give you, you know, what is good for you in the akhirah. And if Allah Ta'ala gives you the wife, then you make the dua that she is a righteous wife and that she is a good woman. This is, inshallah Ta'ala, the last question. We will, again, any questions regarding what we covered, we'll be discussing, inshallah Ta'ala, throughout the week on the forum. And I'll kick off a thread, or maybe some brother or sister will kick it off, inshallah, and we'll take it from there. If you have not registered, just register. Go to the website, annahda.org, go to forum, register, and we'll activate your account, and inshallah ta'ala, you'll be able to do it. Can we make dua for the dead? I said that was my last question, but can we make dua for the dead? Yes, and we will come to that also, as far as will the dua for the dead actually mean anything for them. Because of the hadith of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if the person dies, nobody benefits from but their action, but from the actions, etc. Non-Muslim dead, no, but let's take that to the forum, inshallah, so we can answer it properly. I already exceeded the time that I allotted for this. So, سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير for attending, and please join us next week and spread the word. If you learn something, if you think this is good, remember the hadith of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one who leads people to the good, they get the reward for doing that good themselves. So please point them, and as you see, it is free. We sit and we discuss, inshallah ta'ala, freely. And may Allah ta'ala reward you all with the good. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you next week. Assalamu alaikum.